أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
Dear believers, assalamu alaikum. We praise Allah and we witness that Allah is one. We witness that Allah is the creator of everything. We witness that Allah is the Rabb of the heavens, Asamai, and the earth, Al-Adi. And we witness that Allah cares about all of His creation. He created and then He cared for His creation until He brought this creation to guidance. And the best of His creation is the servants of Allah, the prophets, the messengers of Allah. And He created the human being to be His servant and His messenger. We want to begin by reading in the English translation something from the Holy Quran from Surah Nisa. This is the 172nd ayat, wherein Allah says, and I'm giving the English interpretation, it says the Messiah, or Christ, has no objection, has no difficulty, has no resistance to serving and worshiping Allah, the Christ, the Messiah. He has no objection because he realizes that he's a creation of Allah as well as everyone, but he is a creation that totally, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and like Ibrahim and others, totally submitted himself, submitted his will to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Holy Quran also says nor do the angels, have any objection to totally submitting themselves to Allah. And those nearest to Allah, those who are near to Allah, the true believers, we have no problem giving ourselves totally to Allah. Have no problem saying no to the things that the shaitan invites us to do that are evil and that are haram. The true believers have no problem. We may be tested, but we love to say no to Satan because our desire is to please Allah. But those who have a problem worshiping Allah, and those who are arrogant, arrogant means rebellious, that Allah will gather them on the day of Yom Kiyamah, and they will have to answer. But there is no answer, and so they are going to be put into the fire. But those who believe, and those who do righteous things, righteous works, because you can't just say you believe, you also have to do the righteous work, that Allah will give those who believe and who do the righteous work our rewards, our barakah, our blessings, and even more than we may even be able to imagine, out of His mercy, out of His bounty. We say bounty, we mean of all the things that He has created. He can dispense all the rewards freely. He never runs out of rewards for those that worship and serve Him, for those that believe and do righteous. The rewards just keep on coming. It's like a river of blessing that never stops flowing. But those who object, who rebel against serving Allah, those who are too proud to bow and serve Allah, like this Satan, like Iblis, that those people He will punish with a very painful, very bad penalty, and they will not find anyone to help them to get out of the trouble they're in. Only if they repent of their rebellion and return and bow to Allah, then He, if they're sincere, He will accept their repentance, if they're sincere, and then they will begin to be relieved of the punishment. And Allah says to the people, O people, truly there has come to you a convincing proof. Convincing, another way of putting it is clear evidence, the clear proof from your Rabb, because we have sent a light to you that is clear. And of course we know the light comes in two forms. It comes in the form of the Wahi revelation. In our case, as the Muslim, the Quran. In the case of Isa and his followers, the Injil. In the case of Dawood and his followers, the Sabur. In the case of Ibrahim and his followers, the Sahufi. But we have the complete revelation. We have the Quran, and it's clear because Allah has sealed it, and no one can change, not a single word, not a single sound. When I say sound, I mean everything that's in the Quran that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad is still in the Quran today. There may be different inflections in the recitation, but if you look at the written Quran that was written during the time of Abu Bakr, and later, as Uthman prepared one for the distribution, the same thing that Prophet Muhammad had revealed to him that was written down and compiled. And I've been to a Quranic museum in Bahrain where they had a Quran that went all the way back to that time, and it's the same Quran. It has not changed. Allah would not allow anyone to change the Arabic Quran, because Allah wants us from now until the end of time to have the clear guidance. And Allah says that those who believe in Allah and who hold fast to Him who stay with Allah, who don't deviate, who don't allow the shaitan to pull us off into these other behavior, these other types of lifestyles, as they call them, but stay with the Sirat al-Mustaqim, stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It said that Allah will admit us to His mercy. He will bless us with His mercy, His Rahim, and His Rahman. And He will give us barakah. And He will guide us to Himself. He will guide us away from these other things that will cause us to have all of these problems that we bring on ourselves. He will take us out of the mind to even want to be doing any of those things. And He will make us only want to do that which will be good for us, that He has blessed us to know clearly what's good for us. And He will make us so that's all we want to do. So this talk that we're going to give won't be very long, but I want you to bear with me, brothers, because actually I'm going to be broadcasting this talk later this evening on internet radio. And so I want others to be able to hear this message, because there is a big, big problem today that we as the Muslims have to work very hard to solve. And that is the problem of the smoke, the zircon, the smoke. If you hear that there's a fire in somebody's house and you want to go in there and look for the people so you can save people from being burned in the fire, the first thing you have to do is you have to put on some type of a mask so that you can breathe air, because the smoke may have poison gas in it that will kill you and you may not be able to see. So usually the mask is going to have some goggles to help you to be able to see better. But in the world today, unless people have this deen, they can't really see because the smoke is everywhere. The poison gas of all of these different kind of suggestions and enticements and deviations. When you turn on the TV, you see and you hear things that your soul tells you you shouldn't have to look at that when you turn on the TV. You should be able to see something that's going to uplift you, but very few TV stations have a channel where everything is going to be beneficial. Maybe public TV may have mostly good things, but the commercial TV, it's all full of smoke, things to take you so you can't see clearly how to serve Allah. And so we won't talk too long, but we want to mention this. Allah says about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said, "We have not sent you to be other than a mercy to all the worlds." Because the world during the time of Prophet Muhammad, some of you may have studied the history of the Arabs, but the history of the Arabs was not much different than the history of the Romans or the history of other people in Europe or in different parts of the world, in China. But except the history of the Arabs, they were in worse condition. They were in worse condition. You don't hear as vicious and cruel as the Romans were when they fought their enemies. You don't hear about them burying the baby girls alive. You hear about the Chinese wrapping up their little girls' feet real tight so they'd have little tiny feet. There was something about little tiny feet that the Chinese people liked, so they would crush their little baby girls' bones by wrapping them up so their feet would not grow big. But you didn't hear about them taking the little baby girls that were still breathing and crying and putting them in a hole and covering them up with dirt while they were alive. The Arabs were doing this. They were doing even worse things than this. No, I can't say that. I can't think of anything worse than that. But they were doing terrible things. So when Allah raised up the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mercy for those people. It took them out of that type of behavior. So now fresh air of good minds and good hearts was able to come into their culture and remove all of this evil. So Allah says, "We have not sent you other than as a mercy," not just to the Arabs, but to all of the people. This means that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a mercy to all human beings, not only to the individual, but he came to nations, as I say, the Arab nation, and then it spread, and it went up into the area north of Arabia, it went up to into the area near Jerusalem, where the Jewish people had basically persecuted the followers of Isa ibn Maryam, who were trying to lift them out of the evil that they were doing. And the Jewish people ran them out, they killed them, they persecuted them. So they had gone downhill. And these were the people who Abraham had been promised that imams would come from these people if they obeyed Allah, but they had deviated. So he sent Musa, and they still deviated after a while, and then he sent Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and they still deviated after a while. So finally he sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they were able to bring these people back into the light. But you see, some of those people, they still wanted to go backwards. But this Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a mercy for everyone. So we're going to close this part in just a second. But the fact is that we as Muslims, we have a great responsibility. One reason that we have a great responsibility, now that we know something more about the history of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is that he brought knowledge. He brought the greatest knowledge. He brought the pure knowledge. You know, you cannot, I don't care if you go to the university. And I am a university professor, and so I work and live in the university environment, and I listen to the professors talk about their knowledge, but their knowledge is still knowledge that is not complete. Their knowledge has not been able to redeem the human being from all of the trouble that you see going in the world. All of their knowledge together, it's almost like Musa alayhi salam, when he went to Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh to let the people go so they could follow him to serve Allah, and he didn't want to release the people, so he sent his magicians to try to develop different kinds of tricks. And, you know, magicians do magic tricks, you know, to make the people see things that are not there. But it didn't work. It didn't work, because whenever that the magician would do a trick, then Musa would clear up that with the truth. He would bring the binder. He would bring the clear evidence. So the true believers, the one that wanted to be saved from all of this tricknology, all of these tricks, they were able to see clearly what was right and what was wrong. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's telling us that the clear evidence, the best knowledge, is this right here from Allah. So all of the science of the world is not able, has not been able to be able to keep the people from falling into the hellfire. But this will keep everyone from falling into the hellfire. So as Muslims, dear brothers, as we close this part, let us first of all protect ourselves from the hellfire. You know, the greatest thing, I will share this with you before I close. 2 weeks ago, I was in the hospital preparing myself to die. Yes. When you go into the hospital for surgery, you have to prepare yourself to die. Because the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to put something in your system, if it's an American hospital, where you become about that far from being dead. They reduce your heartbeat, so you don't feel anything. And then they have to put some more, what I would say, drugs in you after they finish doing their work on you to bring you back. And they're watching you on this monitor, and they're watching, and they see the monitor is going down, where your heart is just almost not even beating. But if it stops, you're dead. And so they're watching to make sure that if they see it looking like it's not going to work anymore, then they start working on you. Now, something happened when I came out of it, and I looked at myself, and I saw a hole. I saw a hole where they had punched a hole in the middle of my chest. And I asked myself, I said, I wonder why they did that. They wasn't working on this part of me. They were working on the part down lower. So why did they punch a hole there? And the only thing I could think about, but I didn't ask the doctor, I really don't want to know. But the only thing I can think about is they need to put some kind of drug in me to make my heart work. See, because I have a heart condition. See, they knew when I went in the surgery that it was possible that I could die because I have a heart condition. So I said, maybe they put something in me to stimulate my heart. What I'm actually saying is that coming out of that, and of course I'm here, so that's a blessing. I said, now, what is the reason why that I am here instead of in the ground? What's the reason why any of us are here instead of in the ground? We have a reason. We are not ordinary people. Because we have Islam. And we have the right knowledge. We have the clear evidence. We have the guidance. We have the light. It's like being in a dark cave. You know, about a month ago, they had some boys, about 12 boys, I'm not sure the number, they had gotten involved in traveling through a cave, and then it started raining, and the cave started filling up with water, and it was dark in there. Well, life can be like a dark cave, filling up with water, but the water is not water you want to be in. The water may have snakes in it. The water may have all kinds of disease in it. That's the environment that we're living in a dark cave. You can't see how to get out. You can't see what you need to see to be safe. But Prophet Muhammad is the light, and the Quran is the light that Allah gave to the world to see how to get out of the dark cave. But how are the people going to get the light? Through you and me. First of all, we have to be examples ourselves. We have to try to be as much like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as we can. We have to study his life, study the way he behaved, study the way that he prayed, study the way that he treated his wife, study the way that he treated his friends, study the way that he dealt with his business affairs, study the way that he performed as a military general, a military officer. He was all of these things, and try to be as close to his example as we can. That's the first thing. And then if we do that, then we have the right. Then we have the privilege and the right and the honor to tell other people how to behave. But first we have to be living the life ourselves. So that's the end of this talk for now. Let us try to live the true Muslim life every day, every minute, every hour, inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. Dear Muslims, like our leader, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also should have it in our hearts to be a mercy to all the worlds. Like Prophet Muhammad knew, because the Quran told him, Allah told him through the angel Jibreel, that his mission was to be a mercy to all the worlds. It says it right here in the Quran. And so we should be like that too. We are his followers, so we should be like that too. So like our leader, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also should have it in our hearts to be a mercy to all the worlds. And we should want our ummah, the ummah of al-Islam, to be a model community, to be a model nation, to be a model community. And Allah wants us to be a witness through our personal example, not just with what we say with our mouth, but through our personal life, for all of the other communities. So when they're looking for the right guidance, even when it comes to how to set up business affairs, they should look at the Muslims. So these people know how to do the right kind of business affairs. Even when it comes to education, and they're trying to figure out how to improve the educational system. In this country, there's a big problem because the schools are really going downhill. Students now, when they go to school, they have to go through a metal detector to make sure they're not carrying weapons, because students are going into their schools and killing their students, killing their teachers. Yeah, students are doing that. This educational system is getting in to the situation now where a lot of parents don't want to send their children to school anymore. So if the communities want to send an example of a peaceful, a very good school program, they should be able to look at us. They should be able to look at the Muslims. And of course, if they want to see how families should live, how men should treat their wives, how wives should treat their husbands, how parents should treat their children, how children should respect their parents, they should be able to look at the Muslims. So we have to become, as we close, We have to become more and more aware, and we have to become more and more conscious of the fact that we, the Muslims, we have the superior guidance. We have the best, the mercy from Allah in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we follow it, then we will have the superior community life, and we will be a guide for the rest of the people, inshallah. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you just bless Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for sure that I praise and magnify. Oh Allah, make Muhammad successful and make the true and the faithful followers of Muhammad. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. With Allah's name, our merciful benefactor, our merciful redeemer, we witness that He is one, and we give all praise to Him who sustains the heavens and the earth, and who cares for all of His creation, especially His human creation. And we witness that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, to whom the Quran was revealed, is His noble and generous messenger. Allah says of him, of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessing be upon him, that we should salute him with prayers and with peace. And Allah also says of him that he is a mercy to all the worlds, a mercy to all the worlds. In the Quran it says, and I quote, "We have not sent you," speaking of Muhammad, peace be upon him, "except to be a mercy for all the worlds." It says to all the worlds. Everything that we have in Al-Islam from the Quran and from Muhammad, peace be upon him, who received the Quran for us, directly or indirectly addresses something that is in the scriptures that came before, or is in the religious traditions of the people who had religious communities before the coming of Prophet Muhammad, God's servant and messenger, the peace and blessing be upon him. The Quran is all the words of God. The Quran is all the words of God, whereas other scriptures are not all the words of God. We are not saying this. They say that. It is not us criticizing other scriptures. They are not all the words of God through the prophets. Others came behind the prophets, and they wrote much of what we find in the scriptures. Outside of Muslims, other scriptures carried the words and teachings of their holy people, of their saintly people, of their rabbis and their priests and monks, etc. And it is not all revelation from God. Apostle Paul is one of the main authors of the new books in the New Testament, apostle named Paul. And it is not agreed in Christian history or in the Christian church that all that Paul received was from God. We only have Quran that claims to be only the word of God. There's nothing in there that came from Muhammad himself. He was not able to speak those words. He was not learned in scripture and not even acquainted with scripture. It was all strange to him. It was all inspired and came directly from the Most High God, highly glorified and praised is He. And so Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, is a mercy to all the worlds. We read in Quran that this was revealed to him, that he was not knowing any of this. It says he had no access to any of your knowledge. This is made clear in the Quran about Muhammad the Prophet. It also says they wonder, what kind of book is this that leaves out nothing, big or small? What this is referring to is the key for us as Muslims. To understand the Quran, we have to know the context meaning the situation that it is addressing. Does it address every book that ever appeared in the world when it says it leaves out nothing, small or large? No, that is too much. And there's a lot of nonsense and a lot of foolishness in books that the Quran does not address. The Quran only addresses what people claim to be the word of God, or what people claim that God authorized. It only addresses that and no more. Does God authorize you to do these things you are doing in the name of God? Quran has Muhammad challenging it and addressing the people. It is to make them prove that this that they are claiming is not from God. These are the issues that are found in the context of revealed knowledge and in the context of that which the world used after the revealed knowledge or even before to say this is from God. I'm going to just kind of explain that a little bit. I know it might be a little bit confusing. But for an example, in the Quran, we're told not to use any kind of intoxicants, not even a little bit, okay? And the Quran says that not even a little bit is good for us to use. It says there's some good in, like, the alcohol, but there's more bad, so leave it alone completely. That's from God. Everything in the Quran that we have is from God, okay? Muhammad did not write the Quran. He did not make up. He did not invent any of this. He was the receiver from the angel who brought it from God, and he gave it to us exactly the way he received it. He didn't add anything. He didn't put any new color on it. He just gave it straight the way he got it. He was required by the angel to repeat it until it was memorized exactly the way that the angel brought it from God, and that's what he gave the people, and they recorded it. And since several of them were there, usually when he had the revelation, then they would check each other to make sure that they heard it right from him so that it wasn't changed by anybody. Now, on the other hand, we have other books that the people, they may have received the information from the prophet, like in the case of the what we call Bible. For example, Jesus, okay, he was a prophet. He was a messenger of God. God gave him revelation. We call it the Injil. In the English, they call it the Gospel. Okay? Now, he taught the people to worship God. He said that he was sent by God. He said that I only speak what God put in me. He said, when you see me, meaning when you hear me, really, you're hearing words from God. Not my words, but God's word. In another place, when he was about to go through what the church calls the agony means suffering, of the crucifixion, he prayed, and his words to God were, if it's possible, let this experience not happen. He used the term, if it's possible, don't let this me have to drink of this cup. It's a way of saying not to have to go through what I'm supposed to go through. This is in the Christian Bible. But he says, but not my will, but your will be done. In other words, he submitted himself to the will of God. He didn't have any separate idea or separate will other than God. So we know that's the way it should be. The messenger, the one that God sent, always represents God. But later on, when the apostle named Paul comes, then he gives pictures of Jesus being independent, of him being like a God himself, instead of just being a representative of God. You see, but Paul wasn't Jesus. Paul was another man that came after Jesus. And then he added this information. Well, the Quran doesn't have that. The Quran, everything in the Quran came from God. And so that's why we should try to make sure that we understand, as Muslims, the Quran, because people come to us, because a lot of people are confused about things that they have been taught in their religion, like the thing about the alcohol. If God says, you know, don't drink it, and then you hear somebody say it's okay to drink a little bit of it, that's confusion. But then you say, well, where did that come from? Who invented this extra information saying it's okay to drink it, you know, after the Quran says that's not possible, you can't drink it, it's not permitted. So what we have to do, we have to have a single standard that we know has not been added to, that nobody has gotten in there and put in their information. And we know as Muslims that that one single standard, that one book of revealed scripture is the Quran. Now, that's not to say that other books don't have the word of God in them. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I grew up as a Christian, and our brother that's visiting us today, he's a Catholic. Well, I studied to be a Catholic priest. Yes, I went to the seminary to be a Catholic priest. And as a student studying to be a priest, I became very familiar with the teaching of Jesus. I became very familiar with the teaching of the Bible. And it was very obvious to me that there were some things in the Bible that someone besides God had made up. Now, for an example, if the Quran tells me that I can have up to four wives, but I have to be fair to all of them. See, some women can't have children. Some women, especially when they get older, they became sick and incapable of having marital relations with their husband. You know, there's lots of reasons why a wife may not be able to perform the duties that you expect her to be able to perform when you marry her, okay? So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to have a girlfriend? No, no. Are you supposed to go to a house of prostitution? No. So are you supposed to suffer? No. So what are you supposed to do? Now, the Quran says that you can have up to four wives if you're going to be fair to all of them. But it says better if you only have one. So if you can manage just to have one, that's what you should do. But if you're in a situation where it's just not working because your wife is ill, and we have a situation here in this area, a brother who has actually been an imam here on this post, has preached in the masjid here on this post. He's dead now. He died about a year and a half ago. Now, his wife has cancer. Cancer. That's a very painful disease. It's very difficult for her. She can't even hardly walk, all right? She can't even hardly walk. She has a walker. She has this device that helps her to be able to walk. Physically, she's just not capable of performing the wifely duties. Now, this brother is a good brother. So he had a choice he had to make. He could live, even though he's very healthy, he had a medical problem, but he was healthy. He could live a life of a monk. You know, a monk is somebody that doesn't have a woman, right? And treat his wife just like that. She was his mother or his sister, okay? Just have a companion but not have a real wifely relationship. Or he could get another wife and still take care of his first wife, but get another wife so he could have a complete life. Now what this brother decided to do is what the Quran allowed him to do. What do you think that was? He got another wife. He still took care of his first wife. He didn't take anything away from his first wife. He did not deprive her of any love and affection. He did not deprive her of any of the money that normally he used to give her. So he did everything that he was doing with her, but so he would not be falling into sin, looking at pornography, or going and getting him a girlfriend. He did what the Quran allowed him to do. He got him another wife. Now, if somebody comes behind that, right, and God has already given permission, and they say, you can only have but one wife, okay, who's right? Is the religious authority right, or is God right? We know that God is the only one that's right. But why do some of these religious authorities put new laws on the books that are not what God said? Well, we don't have to worry about that, because if any of our religious authorities say anything, the first thing that we as educated Muslims are going to say is that in the Quran? Even if it's a hadith. We say hadith, these are sayings that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was reported to have said, or things he had approved of, or things he had not approved of, that were recorded. These are records of his life. And if we hear hadith, and it seems, based on our knowledge of the Quran, that it's not connected with the Quran, we reject that hadith. Because why? Because the pure hadith is the Quran. Because why? Because the Prophet's wife said that the Prophet was the Quran walking. So when you saw the Prophet, you saw the Quran, but you saw the best hadith, because he was the living hadith, pure hadith, not something that somebody decided to change for their own convenience. And the reason why we went into all this is to say that we have to be very careful that as Muslims, we need to learn the Quran. We need to understand the Quran. We need to know the history of the Quran. We need to even know the circumstances when things were revealed in the Quran, so we realize what the Quran was talking about when it said something, so that we'll understand that that particular Revelation may have had a particular circumstance that it was relating to, so we can understand what brought that about. For an example, the Quran Prophet Muhammad for almost 13 years refrained from attacking his enemies, refrained from fighting back when people persecuted him, when people even tried to kill him, and when they killed his followers, when they killed his relatives even. He did not fight back until God said to him, you should get up and you should fight. He said, persecution is worse than being outright killed. He told him to go ahead and to take action to defend himself and the believers. Now, he had left the place where they were persecuting him before he started fighting. He wasn't fighting when he was in his hometown in Mecca. You didn't hear about him raising an army and doing guerrilla warfare on his enemies, sneaking up and trying to blow them up. No, he took it. He took it, and then God blessed him with people that understood what he was trying to do to make a better life for people, invited him to leave and go to their town, which is called Yathrib at the time, but later we call it the city of the prophet, or the Medina al-Nabi. But the fact is that when he got there, then his enemies pursued him. They came where he was trying to take the people back and put them back in a bad condition, and God said, you need to go ahead and start fighting. And then he started fighting. Now, the point that we're trying to make is that Prophet Muhammad only did what God told him to do. He did not make up new laws. He didn't fight because he said, I'm mad at these people, I'm angry, I'm going to fight. He waited until God said, okay, now it's time for you to fight. And that's the kind of leadership we need. We need leadership that's going to tell us exactly what came from God, because God is the one that's going to give us heaven or give us hell. He's the only one that can make that decision. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I don't even know what's going to happen to me, except that the Quran says that if I serve God, then he's going to bless me to be saved from the hellfire and go to the paradise, if I serve him. I don't know what you're doing behind closed doors. You don't know what I'm doing behind closed doors. So nobody can judge anybody else, except God judges everybody. So the point we're trying to make, we're going to close in a minute, is that we have to know what God wants us to do, and we can do it, because all we have to do is become familiar with this book. Now, what we should do, and our brother here, he speaks Arabic. He was trained to speak Arabic. Many of you were trained when you were little children to speak Arabic. But what we need to learn how to do, brothers, is learn how to speak the Quranic Arabic. See, there's a difference. Now, I'll tell you something. Now, I've been studying Arabic. I don't speak Arabic, but I've been studying Arabic I started studying Arabic in college about 50 years ago. But that was the conversational Arabic. But nobody around me spoke conversational Arabic, so I didn't have any chance to practice. But I learned how to write the letters and say the sounds. Later, when I became a Muslim, because I wasn't a Muslim at first, maybe I had just become a Muslim, I started studying the Quranic Arabic. Now, I went to Arabia. I was stationed on a ship, and we went to Abu Dhabi, and we went to Saudi Arabia. We didn't get to Oman, but we went to Dubai, went to Egypt, went to Morocco. When I was in Abu Dhabi, I'm in a taxi, and I'm looking at the signs on the stores. And I couldn't understand, even though I had been reading Arabic and the Quran, I couldn't understand what the signs were saying, because it wasn't the Arabic that I was familiar with. See, I was only familiar with the Quranic Arabic, but they were talking about stuff that was not in the Quran. See, so what I'm saying is, if you know Arabic, but you don't know the words that are in the Quran, then you need to go and get somebody to help you understand what's in the Quran, even though you may speak Arabic conversationally, just like me. I'm a college professor. There are certain words that we use in the academic world that everyday people don't use. I'm not going to try to impress you with words, but I'm just saying that. Now, if a person wants to become a college professor, they have to learn a new language within the language. In other words, you can speak English, but you may not speak the university type of English. So you may speak Arabic, but you may not be able to speak the Arabic of the Quran. So Muslims should learn to speak the Arabic of the Quran. We should be so familiar with the Arabic of the Quran that even if a scholar, an Arabic-speaking sheikh, a mullah, says something in Arabic and it's deviating from what the Quran says, we should be able to check and say, subhanAllah, that's not what the Quran says. That's not right. We should be able to check anybody because we should be so knowledgeable in the Quran that we can become the Hafiz and we can become the protector of God's word, because it's only God's word that will keep us from falling into sin. It's only God's word that will keep us from being victimized by the attractiveness of some of the invitations that are all around us to deviate and do things that will harm us and eventually put us in the hellfire. Only God's word will save us. And God's word is expressed in the Quran, and we know that the one that was the exemplar, that was the example of living God's word was who? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Amen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. In the Holy Quran, we study about the time wal asr. And it says in the English translation, by the token of the time, verily mankind is in a loss, in loss. You know, and we look at the situation today, and we look all around the world, in this country, in America, in the countries that you all come from, and in the Bible it says that there will come a time when there will be wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. And that's what we have going on today. Wars and rumors of wars. And we wonder, what is the future going to bring? What is going to happen? Is it going to get better? Or is it going to get worse? But the Quran already tells us that it's going to get better for some people, but it's going to get worse for other people. So which people is it going to get better for, and which people is it going to get worse for? Well, it's pretty clear. We can read it here. What I say, inna insana lafi kusr, ila ladina amanu, wa amanu salahati, wa tawassab bihaq. So it says man is in loss, meaning it's going to get worse, except for those people that do what? They believe. And what does it mean when it says believe? Believe in the revelation from Allah. They believe in the revelation from Allah and do good works. So you have to believe in what God sent, and then you have to act on it. You have to do what God tells you to do. And you have to not do what God tells you not to do. Not do the bad things. And then it goes a step further and it says, encourages each other to do what? To follow that which is the truth. Al-Haq. To do what God tells you to do, and then encourage each other to do it. And to encourage each other to be patient. To be patient. So if we see all of these bad things that are on the horizon, first thing we should do is not get involved in doing those things that we see are bad things. Not be part of that. Then we should work very hard to practice what we say we believe, which is the Quran. So all of these things, and we won't go into detail today, but one of the surahs, that will give us a clear picture of what we should be doing in Surah Al-Baqarah. It tells us step by step the things that good people do. Okay, so go and review that. And then you'll see these are things that the good people do. So we should practice those things. And then all of the things that God says do not do, and we know, we won't go into detail, but we know what many of those things are. I mean, they're all in the Quran. It tells us don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you know, some of them are easy to understand, like for example, stealing and lying and committing fornication and adultery, and drinking and getting intoxicated, backbiting, okay, all of these things. We could see this even in the Bible. It tells us the same thing. Don't do these things. So we should definitely not even allow ourselves to fall victim to any of these things, but we shouldn't stop there. We should go and we should practice in our life how to invite people by our example, how to do the good things and avoid the bad things. But then also we have to be patient, because we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested. And the thing about it is we have a great example, the greatest example of someone that was tested, but he never lost his faith in Allah. And of course we know that's Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So if we just remember that no one was tested greater than he was tested. And I'm not going to go into his history today. We'll talk about his history one day so we can see how he was tested. But he always kept faith in Allah, and he always kept doing the good things and avoiding the bad things. So we have our model right there in front of us, and we have our guidance. We have our guidance right here. So we should be fine. Okay, we should be among the people that are not going to be in loss if we do these things. But it's not going to be easy sometimes, because there are going to be attractions, there are going to be things that pull us off and make us wonder if it's okay to do these things. Sometimes we may get weak and we say, well, I like to go up on the internet and watch some pretty women. No, brother, you know God doesn't like that. Why do we know God doesn't like that? Because if anybody could have had all of the pretty women going through his house, I mean, of all different colors, it was Prophet Muhammad. Because when he got to be in power, people were sending him gifts. They were sending him clothes. They were sending him swords. They were sending him horses. They were offering him women. And he could have just sat back and had people feeding him and had a whole string of women come through his house all the time. But God put a limit on that. He couldn't have all the women. We know he had several, but for different reasons that God approved of. But he couldn't just have a string of women like some people want to get on the internet at night and just look at a string of women all night long. They can't even get up and go and do their duty the next morning because they're so tired, their eyes are tired from looking at all these women. But we as Muslims, we have to be strong enough and have patience. Wait till you get back home, brother. Your wife will be waiting for you, inshallah. It won't be long, you know. But God has given us the best of all things. And the devil has given us an alternative. But the alternative is the hellfire. So we thank Allah that we were able to be coming together today. We thank Allah that we are believers in God, whether we call ourselves Muslims or whether we call ourselves something else. As long as we believe in God and believe in the truth that he revealed. And I will tell you right now, and don't be ashamed, and don't be excited, and don't get offended if I tell you, that there's truth in all of the books that we say are scriptures. The only problem is the people have snuck in there and they've added stuff in there that can take you astray. And that's why you need a standard. So when you read these other books, I read the Bible all the time. But see, I have the standard to tell me what's right and what's wrong in the Bible. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible. But if I didn't have the standard, I might get pulled off into some of that other stuff, believing things were supposed to be done that's not supposed to be done. But with this standard, I don't have to worry about going astray. I mean, well, bless Muhammad and bless the true and the faithful apostle of Muhammad, as you just bless Abraham and the apostle of Abraham, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, make Muhammad successful and make the true and the faithful followers of Muhammad successful, as you just make Abraham and the true and faithful followers of Abraham successful, for surely you are praised and magnified. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi namadahu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. The translation of that opening is all praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. We praise him and we ask him for help and we ask for his protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness, the mischiefs, as it says here, from the misdeeds, the mis, what we would say stakes in our own selves and from the evil consequences of our deeds. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one to guide him or her astray. And who Allah finds deviating, there's no one to guide him or her. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. We begin with a reading from the Holy Quran, where Allah tells us, A'udhu billahi min shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi, wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscientious, be conscious of your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him, and do not die unless you are Muslims, meaning do not die unless you are in a state of submitting yourself to Allah completely. Allah also says to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti ilaha wa rasuluhu faqad faza fawzan azim. Again, this is addressed to the believers. O you who believe. Again, he says, Allah says, be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscientious, be conscious of your duty to Allah. And speak the right word. Speak the right word. Kalan Sadidan. Speak the right word. The right word. And that means the truth. And Allah is telling us to speak the truth, but He's saying to us, and we need to understand this, that we should say to our own souls what is right. We should not try to trick ourselves and tell ourselves lies, tell ourselves that something is okay when we know that God has forbidden it, or something shouldn't be done when we know that God says to do it. We should always listen to the voice that God has planted us in us, which is our actual, we call it the Deen of Fitra. We're going to talk about Deen in a few minutes and what it means. But we have an obligation to listen to what Allah has planted inside of us, because that's His guidance to us. It comes with us when we are born. And if we listen to it, we won't go astray. But because of the world we live in, we have so many things that are clouding what that voice is telling us to do. So we needed to have an example that we could actually refer to, so we could see in the midst of all of these different distractions how to behave. So Allah gave us Prophet Muhammad, and with him came his sunnah. And so he told us if we follow the Quran, which is God's word, His revelation, and the Prophet's sunnah, we won't go astray. But we begin with the voice of God inside of us. Even if we did not have the book, the Quran, even if we had never seen the book, the Quran, if the world had been left alone, if the devil, the Satan, had not been given permission to trick us and to deceive us, then the voice that Allah planted inside of Adam, when He created Adam, He said He put His spirit. That just doesn't mean spirit like air, but He put His will, He put His divine will in the will of Adam. So Adam was born to do God's will. We are all born to do God's will, but Prophet Muhammad said that when we are born and come to this world, then others begin to change us, and they give us other things that are not in accordance with God's will. But if we listen to our own heart, if we listen to what God has put into the righteous heart, if we listen to that voice and speak the right word to that voice and let that voice speak to us, we won't go astray. In fact, there's a time when the companions were asking Prophet Muhammad for advice on how to tell what was right and what was wrong. If they didn't have a book, if they didn't have any other guidance, He said, if your soul is in doubt about something, it's wrong, don't do it. He says, if your soul is wavering, not really sure, is this okay, is it not okay, He says, leave it alone, it's not good for you. So we should speak the right word to ourselves. And then God says, and this is from the Quran. I say God says because this is from the Quran. God says that if you listen to your soul, if you listen to that voice in your soul, which is Allah speaking to you from within, then God would put your deeds into the right state for you. He will make sure that you're proceeding to do what is good for you if you listen, and He will forgive you your weaknesses, because now you have a guide to keep you from falling victim to your weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. It's just like, for an example, I'm getting away from the text of the Quran. I'm just going to give you an example. During Ramadan, when we are fasting, we may get thirsty in the middle of the day. We may get hungry in the middle of the day. Our human weakness may say, stop at the water fountain and get a drink of that cool water. Everybody else in the office is doing it. You go ahead and get some. But the voice of God said, it's Ramadan, and you're not sick and you're not on a journey, so you're required to fast. So if we listen to that voice, then God will give us the strength to say no to the water until it's appropriate time to have the water or food. So God will forgive us our faults, and he will also help us to overcome our human weaknesses. And he says, whoever obeys Allah and his Rasul, his messenger, he or she achieves a mighty success. So we want to speak, but not too long, on the topic of the dangers and the delusions in our deen. Now, the word delusion is an English word, and it comes from the root is loose. Now, I don't mean like loose coat. I mean loose like light. In the Latin language, in the Spanish language, there are a lot of words that were taken and put into the English language, you see. And so the word light actually has a root in the Latin language, which is loose, and it's also in Spanish. So the word delusion comes from the root of light, okay? But D-E, it means away from. It means out of or away from in English when you study the language. So delusion means to take you out of the light, okay, to take you away from the light. So when you hear somebody talk about a delusion, you are talking about somebody taking them out of the light into the darkness. So what they saw before as clear light, now what they're seeing is darkness, and it could even be deceitfulness, okay? So we have to be careful about the delusions that slip into our deen. Well, we're taken away from the light of Al-Islam, even though we say we believe and we study it, but there are things come to us from people who are not good Muslims, or maybe they're Jahiliyyah people, or they may be kafirs, and they start telling us things, and if we're not really, really strong in Quran, we may fall victim to these things. And also, we have to be careful about the dangers of the distortion. Now, distortion means deviation, you see, distortion. Our brother studied physics and engineering, and I didn't study physics to the extent he did, but I did study radio communications. And if a signal is distorted, it means it's not on the same signal path it's supposed to be on. It gets out of the range, you see. So we can have distortions in our understanding of this deen, where we're over here instead of being on the right path. So we have to be careful that we understand some of these things. So we're not going to make this too long, but I do want to read something that's very important, and I do want to mention, I mentioned this before, that I record these khutbahs now because I have a radio, international internet radio broadcast that comes on tonight. And so while I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to myself, of course, I'm also going to be speaking to the radio audience, and I want them to hear this, so maybe it'll help them have a better understanding of this religion. It says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and I'm going to read the English interpretation, it says, and it's speaking to Prophet Muhammad in that time, but it's also telling us, so we know when it says say, it's not just talking to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it's talking to us. It says, say, O people of the scripture, O people of the scripture, it says, Kul ya ayuha katabi. Say, O people, O you people of the scripture, Kuya alal kitabi. It says, do not stress, do not promote. I have to change some of these words that are in this translation to make it simpler. Do not promote in your religion other than the truth. In other words, don't get up and preach to the people or get out and tell the people something in the name of religion that's not the truth, okay? It says to tell the people of the scripture. We're talking about mostly in this situation, we're talking about the Christians. Okay, it's really addressing this to the Christians. It's telling Prophet Muhammad to tell those people that say they believe in divine revelation, they believe in the book, they believe in the Injil, do not say things that are not true. And it says also to all of us, do not follow the desires of the people from the old, like the Yahudis and the old Christian who went astray. Do not follow them. He said these people, they went astray and they led many people astray. They left the straight path. He said those of the children of Israel who went astray, because Musa came to them and he guided them back to the right path. You know, Abraham had guided them on the right path. Yusuf had guided them on the right path. And Musa came and he guided them away from worshiping the Pharaoh and doing the things the Pharaoh did and got them back on the right path. But even after that, they went astray. So he sent other Nabiun, and he ultimately sent Ishmael and Miriam to try to bring them back. But it says that those who continue to go astray, they were cursed. They were cursed by the prophet Daoud. They were cursed by prophet Ishmael and Miriam, alayhi salam. That's because they rebelled. To rebel means to disobey, because they rebelled and they used to do wrong. They used to do bad things because they didn't want to stay on the right path. You see, they did not keep each other from doing bad things. They did not keep each other from being bad people, but they like to do evil things. These are people who have been sent to Nabiun, and they, for just a little while, they may have done right, but then they went astray. And then Allah says, you see, many of the people, now he's talking about people that say that they believe in the prophet, but they're following people that don't believe. It says, you see many of them are making friends with those who are kafirun. He says, surely it is bad for them what they're doing. It is bad for them, and God will be angry with them, and they will be punished. They were going to be living in the hellfire. They're going to be put into the punishment because they left being on the right path and follow those people that had gone astray. This can be true of Muslims as well. And it says if they believe in Allah and the Prophet and that which was revealed to him, which was the Quran, they would not choose these bad people for their friends. They would not choose these people that like to do haram things for their friends. Okay, they would not choose these Mushrikeen people for their friends. You know? They would not choose these people that like to do indecency for their friends. But many of them, he says, they are people that do bad behavior. They do bad things. In other words, these are people that the religion, the revelation came to, but they went astray. Now they're following people that don't even believe in Allah and imitating these people. And it says that God is going to be God is going to be angry with them and they're going to be punished. But if they believe in Allah, if they believe in what was sent to the prophet, they would not choose these people for their friends. Because many of these people are bad. They're bad people. And it says, you will find those that are most hostile. Hostile means to be enemies to someone. He said, those who are most likely to be enemies to the Muslim, he says, are the Yahudis, you know who the Yahudis are, and the Kafirun, the Mushrikeen. These are the people that hate the Muslim. Why do the Yahudis hate the Muslim? Because Allah have sent them so many people to help them do right, and they got angry with those people. Some in the Quran says some they chased away, some they killed, because they did not want to do right, even after he sent them One prophet, a whole line of prophets, all the way from Noah, you know, from Adam actually, all the way to Isa ibn Maryam, and then Muhammad, and they still rebel. So they don't want to do right. So they hate the people teaching righteousness. But he says you will find the closest, the ones more closer in affection, that our heart is open to the Muslim, it says those who say that they're Christians. And you find today, and I see it myself, you may not see it, but I've been noticing that many of the Christians, especially the African-American Christians, and I'm not going to go into detail about that, they are embracing the Muslim. They may not be ready to fully accept Islam, but they feel good when they see Muslims because they know the Muslims truly do love God. Now, they may not be ready to come into Islam yet, but they're going to come because they have a good heart. So the Quran says the ones that's closest to the believers are the ones who say we're Christian. It says that is because among them are the people they call the priests. And I'm not talking about the people you hear about in the news that are doing bad things to the little children. That's not the priests we're talking about. They're people that call themselves priests that are not doing good. But the priests are those people that say they want to devote their whole life. Their whole life. They get up in the morning praying like we do. They go to bed at night praying like we do. And they want to devote their whole life to serving God. These are Christians that are like that. And I've known many of them. You know, I've lived with many of them. And even though they say they believe in Jesus and all that, but they really, really want to be good people. And it says they are not proud. They are not arrogant. They are humble people. And that's one thing I noticed when I was growing up. The really good priests were people that were very gentle and very humble, like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like Isa ibn Maryam, for example. Okay? And it says, because you will see when they listen to the revelation, when they listen to the Quran, if it's explained to them, because many of these people, they don't understand Arabic, so if the English is explained to them, like what we're doing right now, you'll see tears come in their eyes because their hearts are open to the truth. And it says that you'll see their eyes overflowing with tears because of their recognition of the truth. And they say, we're talking about the Christians now, they say, our Lord, we believe, we believe. It says, write us down among those that are witnesses to the truth, to say, witnesses to the truth. So we're going to have to understand that there are many people that, if we just approach them with the truth, that their hearts will be open. And then it goes on to say, how would we not believe in Allah and that which has come unto us of the truth? And this is the Yahudis' worst fear, that these people that they control, because the Yahudis actually control a lot of the Christians, because the Christians say they have to rely on the Yahudis to have a basic understanding of their scriptures. But they don't want to see the Christians come to Islam, because the Christians that are misguided, once we tell them the truth, many of them are going to come to Islam. But those Yahudis that have rebelled against the truth, that sought to kill Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Isa ibn Maryam, no, they're afraid of this. But the real true believers, they say, how can we not believe in Allah and what has come to us of the truth? And how should we not hope that our Lord has sent messengers to the people? But it says to the other people, as often as a messenger came to them with which they did not want to hear. Like for an example, I'm going to give you an example. I was in the place we call Ashams, but actually Ashams is more like Syria, they say, but I was in Palestine, and there's a big ocean, but it's not really an ocean, it's like a big lake. It's near Jordan, it's in Palestine, and it's called the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you study the Christian scripture, it says that Isa ibn Maryam used to go fishing on the Sea of Galilee. He and his followers, they would go out in the boat, and he would teach them out in the boat, but they would be out there fishing. So I went to the Sea of Galilee in 1992. I was in that part of the world. And, you know, my memory of the story about the Sea of Galilee was Isa ibn Maryam walking and teaching people on the side of the sea. But what I saw was the women, they were not dressed properly. You had boyfriends and girlfriends lying out there on the beach of the sea. This is where the prophets came. Many, many prophets came, and yet these people are behaving like they never heard from any prophet telling them to behave properly. Then they had this loud rock music playing. So it was nothing sacred about this place, even though it was in what the Christians call the Holy Land. So now, when the people were behaving like that in Isa ibn Maryam's time, see, if you go to the movies and you see a movie about Isa ibn Maryam's time, you would see all of the women dressed like the Muslim women. That's only in the movie, because in reality, they weren't dressed like that then, and they don't dress like that now. They dress the same way as if you go to the beach in France or if you go to the beach in America. That's how they were dressing back in Isa ibn Maryam's time. That's how they were dressing in Prophet Muhammad's time. See, because any time that the people get to become indecent and they are doing all this haram and they're doing all this zina, that's when Allah sends them a prophet. See, if they had been dressing like the Muslim, God wouldn't have had to send them a prophet because their minds would have been clean. But because their minds had got so wicked and they were living like that, he sent a prophet to try to bring them back. But the Quran says that when he sends them a prophet or someone to tell them to stop doing bad, they rebel. They get angry. They want to fight and kill the prophet. They don't want to hear that. He says some of them, they just rebel, and some of them they kill. This is from the Quran. I'm giving you the English interpretation. He said, but they thought no bad stuff was going to be the result of their rebellion. So they willfully became blind. They willfully closed their ears. They didn't want to hear God's truth. And he said, even after that, God was merciful to them. Even after that. But he says, even after God has been merciful to them, they still are blind. They still are deaf. But God sees what they do. So we'll close this part now and say, surely those people are disbelievers. Those people are kafirun who say that Christ is God, that the Messiah, which we know the Messiah is Isa ibn Maryam, those people who say that Christ, that Isa ibn Maryam is God, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are kafirs, they're disbelievers. They're disbelievers because he himself said, it says the Messiah himself said, O children of Israel, O people, O Bani Israeli. Bani means a tribe, but the translator used the word children, which is not the right translation, but it's the tribe. He said, O people of the of Israel, worship Allah alone, my Rabb, and your Rabb. That's who you should worship, not me, but worship Allah. This is what he told them. He says, for anybody that associates partners with Allah, to associate partners, that's certain. He said, any mushrikeen, that they are forbidden to go to the paradise. So you have all of these people that are saying that Jesus is God. But if you tell them that and they accept to change, Allah will be merciful. But if they become rebellious and want to close their ears and close their eyes, and keep on saying it, and say they will not go to the paradise. And so that's why it's important, especially for us going to be living among the people, the Christians, since there are many of them whose hearts would open to the truth if we only told them the truth. And I'll be honest, and this is for the broadcast, you don't need to hear this, but it's good for you to hear, but for the people that hear it on the broadcast, isn't it? We cannot sit by and be comfortable with knowing that these people are going against what God has said, which is not to worship the Christ, and let them go like it's okay for them to do it because everybody should be able to do what they want to do. If that had been the case, Prophet Muhammad would have never been raised up among the people Abraham would have not been raised up among the people. Esau would have never been raised up among the people. And we say we're followers of Prophet Muhammad. We have to do what Prophet Muhammad did. He went out into the place, even when he knew people wanted to kill him, and he said, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. And he told the people, what I'm telling you, he actually said it in Arabic to those people. He said that Jesus said he was not God. Don't call me God. He revealed to the people that God said, that Jesus said he was not to be called God. So if we follow Prophet Muhammad, why are we not doing that? Why are we sitting there with them like it's okay for them to keep saying that? Something is wrong with us. We are being deluded thinking that God is going to bless us just because we come to the Jummah, we pray to Allah, but yet we're going to let all these people keep worshiping in the wrong way. And that's the reason I stand up here in this church, and if it was filled with preachers, if it was filled with the chaplains, I would say the same thing. I wouldn't change one word. Because we have to tell the people the truth. It says those people that ascribe partners to Allah, they're going to go to the hellfire. So it says, will they not rather turn to Allah and seek forgiveness of him? Because Allah is forgiven and he is merciful. It says that Christ, the Messiah, the son of Mary, was no other than a messenger. That's what he was. He wasn't the one that even made the word. He just carried the word. He wasn't the one that had the vision, the guidance, the knowledge, the hikmah. He just delivered the message. It was Allah who had the hikmah. He's al-hukm. He was the one that said, tell the people this, tell the people that. And Jesus was just a messenger. And it says, messengers like him have passed away before him. And his mother was a good woman. She was a pure woman. And they both used to eat food. They were human beings. So it says, see how we make the revelations clear for the people? Allah said, we are making it so plain. And yet many of them turn away. But we can't stop. We can't stop just because some of them turn away. Because they are those whose hearts will open if we give them the message. Rabbana tina fi dunya hasna tama fi al akarati hasna tama kina davinat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. So the second part of the Kutbah is actually just going to be the dua for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We said a lot, and we're not going to continue. But think about these things. Even you who are going to leave America, you're going to find that even in other parts of the world that traditionally for the last 1,000 years have said la ilaha illallah, you will find that the Yahudis and some of the the Christian people, they want to change the religion. It says that these people would not be satisfied unless they changed the Muslims' religion. So they are being given money by wealthy people to go to the countries of the Muslims to make friends with the Muslims and to try to change the Muslims. They will set up nice opportunities for the Muslims to come and relax. And the next thing you know, they'll be offering the Muslims alcohol. The next thing you know, they'll have women walking around trying to entice the Muslims to look at them. This is happening all over the Muslim world. I've been over there. I'm not telling you something that I'm inventing. I've been there. I've seen it. You go into some of those countries now and you go into hotels, and you open the refrigerator and it'll be full of bottles of alcohol. I've seen this. And you ask yourself, what's happening to the Muslim world? What's happening to the Muslim world is what we said in the beginning as we closed, the delusion. Remember we said that luz means light and D means away from, because the Satan is pulling the people out of the light and they're weak because they're not really practicing the deen. They've stopped fasting. Some of them, the only thing they do is they'll stop eating, but they won't stop looking at pornography. Yeah. You might see them walking down the street and say, "Are you fasting?" "Yes, I'm fasting." But as soon as they get in their house, they turn on the internet and they're like, "That's not fasting." It's worse than not fasting, because now they're breaking another law. Because now they're involved in an intoxication, because that's intoxication. And if you study what the scientists say about it, it's the same as if you're using the opium. It's the same thing. So the effect on your mechanics of your brain, the hormones that's being produced when you get involved in it, it's as though you're using hashish or using opium. And yet you find Muslims that'll be doing that during Ramadan and say they're fasting. So those who believe in Islam, we have to stop letting people feel comfortable doing the things that they shouldn't do. You know, we should establish our religion again. We'll close on that note. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, kama salli ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim wa nakamid majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim wa nakamid majid.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم إِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ
فَلَا
وقيل لهم ذوقوا عذاب النار الذي كنتم به تكذبون ولنذيقنهم من العذاب الأدنى العذاب الأكبر لعلهم يرجعون ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه ثم أعرض عنها ولقد آتينا موسى الكتاب فلا تكن في مرية من لقائه وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون إن ربك هو يفصل بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون أولم يهد لهم كم أهلكنا من قبلهم من القرون يمشون في مساكنهم إن في
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. اللهم السلام عليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. لا إله إلا الله.